right. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Welcome this morning. Well, you may have heard already, but maybe not. Our senior pastor, Randy, is sick with shingles. It's pretty nasty, pretty painful. I was in contact with him yesterday, and he says he misses you guys and hopes to see you very, very soon, and is very thankful for your prayers for him. In fact, that's how we're going to start today. We're going to pray together for Pastor Randy. So join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do lift up to you our dear friend and our pastor, Randy, your servant, your child. We pray, Lord, for his healing from these shingles in his throat and his ear. Oof. Would you ease his pain? Bring him through this victoriously and bring him to full, complete, and we pray quick healing, even now, Lord, even right now, we pray this. And Lord, I thank you that he, even yesterday, said he knows you're with him and he's putting his trust in you. That's an example to me, to the rest of us, when we go through difficult times. But Lord, we pray you deliver him from this. Our brother Randy, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. I suspect Randy could be checking out the service online right now from home. And so if you'd like, if you waved back at that exit sign, he might even see you on the crowd cam there. Technology can be goofy, but it's got its benefit. We can wave to our pastor when he's home and sick. Well, you can get your Bible out. We're going to be in Mark chapter 1 this morning. And Christmas is here. Churches all over the globe will be joining together over the next Sundays, and there'll be Christmas Eve services and maybe Christmas Day services all over the world, where people are going to be reading Christmas stories as they're recorded in the biographies of Jesus called the Gospels. Churchgoers are going to hear about the wise men visiting Jesus as recorded in Matthew. They're going to read about angels visiting lowly shepherds to announce the birth of the newborn king, as documented in Luke. Some churches might even dig into the Gospel of John, which describes the word from heaven becoming flesh and making his dwelling among us, the incarnation. These are all great stories, but you know which, and they're true. When I say story, I worry people think I mean fairy tale or something. We're talking about history here, all right? Real accounts. But you know, there's one gospel that doesn't get a lot of press in December in the Christian church, and that is the Gospel of Mark. Why? Why don't we hear from Mark a lot in December? Well, Mark's biography on Jesus skips the Christmas story altogether. It's not in there. No nativity, no genealogies. We don't even see Jesus as a little boy. And I had one job filling in for Randy this morning. Pick a Christmas story and preach it. And I went with Mark. That was silly. No. There's a reason. But today's message is entitled, Why Skip Christmas? Why skip Christmas? Now, I know you're thinking, last week, Chris, we messed with Santa, if you remember that, all right? And now this week I'm asking this, is this like a Christmas with the cranks kind of situation? Have I become a crank? No. You say, oh, that war on Christmas, it's infecting Stony Creek Church. No. Certainly not. Christmas time is a wonderfully special time of the year. Really, for lots and lots of people, but for the Jesus follower in particularly, we remember that God became man. And all that, the warmth around the season, the lights and the special music, I love that second song. That was a really good song that we sang there during praise time. All the celebrations and traditions and family time, so long as they're pointing us to Jesus and helping us to remember that our God came after us by becoming one of us, it's all good stuff. It's all good stuff and very special. And yet, Mark skips it. Just skips it all. Jumps right into something else. And so why is that? Well, we're going to explore the reason Mark skips Christmas this morning. And it all stems from the main idea. You want to pull that outline out of your program, and you can write down this morning's main idea, which is to prioritize Jesus' urgent ministry. He's prioritizing Jesus' urgent mission, also ministry. Yeah, his mission. A big feature in Mark's biography of Jesus is the urgency of Jesus' mission as he's proclaiming the gospel, the good news. Jesus' ministry moves at a breakneck speed. You blink, you let your mind drift a little bit while you're reading a chapter in Mark, and you'll miss a big story about something Jesus did, because he's just throwing them out one after another. Now, what you'll find less of in Mark's gospel compared to the other gospels is Jesus' discourses and teachings and parables. There's some of these things in there for sure, but much less than the other gospels, because Mark's emphasis is on Jesus' kingdom-advancing actions. All right, he's action Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. Just consider chapter 1. I'll give you a quick overview. We're going to go through it a little bit more in detail for the rest of the sermon, but let me give you a quick overview of chapter 1 in the Gospel of Mark. Like I said, no genealogy, no nativity, no Jesus is a boy. It's just off, here we go. Need to take a breath for this one. There's a prophecy, and then John shows up. And after John shows up, Jesus immediately drops in. He gets baptized, and then right after he gets baptized, he goes into the desert to have a showdown with the devil. Don't worry about the details about that. He ends up just fine. He gets out of there, and John gets arrested. And so Jesus goes, and he's proclaiming the gospel, calling disciples to himself. As he's calling disciples to himself, he's teaching in the synagogues. He's driving out demons. He's healing a bunch of folks. He gets about a half an hour of sleep, and then he goes off to pray, and then he gets over and does it all again in the next town. Whew! I had a hard time with the end of that. I didn't think I was going to make it. I've auditioning for auctioneer, if anybody needs it. Our next cake auction. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Guys, that's a lot of stuff. And guess what? I didn't even get to the end of chapter 1. That's not even at the end of chapter 1. Jesus has done all of that. He's really on the go. And Jesus is calling us to jump on board and to try to keep up with him. And so to study Jesus' urgent gospel mission and to understand why skipping Christmas works in with that for the way Mark presents it, we're going to answer two central questions about Jesus' gospel message. The first question is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Well, Mark tells us right at the beginning of his gospel. He says, this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus. I went into it in faith that was going to show up. The beginning of the good news, or the gospel, that's the same word. Some translations say good news, some say gospel, same word. I could pronounce it now, but Randy might be watching online and say, no, you pronounced that wrong in Greek. All right. The good news about Jesus, and then look what he says, the Messiah, the Son of God. And so the first answer there on your outline, very clear. Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. So Mark is establishing Jesus' identity for the reader right away. Very first thing he says about Jesus. And yet, in the narrative, that's the story, as we're reading the story, the events unfolding, Jesus' identity is a secret. His identity as Messiah is a secret. It's called the Messianic secret. It's revealed to the characters in the story, the people that were interacting with Jesus. It's revealed and unpacked over time. And that's why Mark skips Christmas, the Christmas story. He skips the part where angels are announcing and there's prophecies talking about and giving hints for who Jesus will be. Mark shows us Jesus just dropping right into his public ministry. And for the rest of the gospel, people are like, who is this man? Over and over again, that question gets asked, who is this man? Even Jesus' closest disciples don't know who he truly is until halfway through the gospel in chapter 8. And even then, they're just, now it's finally starting to dawn on them. Now the demons know. They're one group of folks who know. But Jesus tells them to shut up. He says, I don't need you spoiling the messianic secret, and I certainly don't need your evil press you know, telling people who I am. They're gonna learn it from me and my actions. So Jesus won't let the demons speak. But we as the reader know right away he's the Messiah, the Son of God. And as we read on in Mark's gospel, it makes us go, yeah, look at that. Only God could do that. Only God could say that. Only God could know that. We know it as the reader, and as it starts dawning on the characters, we're like, yeah, they're getting it, they're getting it. And it's so sweet. And there's a lot of supporting evidence to the ID right at the beginning, and we'll just detail some of it here to show how now that we know that going in, the next things Mark says, we get how they all contribute to showing us, they all attest to Jesus' identity. The first one is the fulfilled prophecy. You want to write that down there on your outline. Fulfilled prophecy. There's this prophecy from Isaiah that he quotes. Oh, there's tons of biblical prophecy about Jesus. Lots of it around the Christmas story. In fact, for the rest of December, starting next Sunday, going through our Christmas Eves, including our Christmas Eve services, we're actually going to go into a series about Christmas prophecies and how Jesus fulfilled them and what it means for us today. Because the prophecy that Jesus fulfilled, they play a huge role, a huge testimony to showing us who Jesus is as Messiah and the Son of God. But there's more that attest to it that Mark gives us, again, the reader, and that is Jesus' famous forerunner. You got John the Baptist there. You want to write down forerunner. And John the Baptist, the huge crowds are following John. They're hearing his preaching. They know this is a man of God. This is a man who has the Spirit resting on him. And John points to Jesus and says, this guy, he's way greater than me. That's the testimony of a human. But then there's also the divine testimony. The next point there on your outline, the testimony of God the Father. We see at Jesus' baptism in verses 9 through 11, God the Father speaks to his son, Jesus. He says, you are my son. And this is different. We know this is different than, you know, saying we're all God's children, like in the sense that God made us, you know. Yeah, there's a sense in which we're his kids because he made us. He's, you know, the Heavenly Father, of course. And for the believer that's trusted in Jesus, we've been adopted into God's family. And so we are adopted children too. But when God the Father says this to Jesus, you are my son, this is a unique way. He's the Son of God by nature. He's the second member of the Trinity. What do I mean by nature? Well, I'm a human by nature. And so my sons are also humans. They are not cats, you know. We can have fur babies, but we understand they're not our babies by nature, right? And so my sons by nature are also human. And so the Son of God is God by nature. We also see a couple of other things about just showing that this all fits with Jesus' ID that Mark gives us at the beginning, is that Satan fails to tempt him. I know that's written weird on your outline. That was a misprint, that one and the next one, just in my haste to get this printed here last minute, the outline. But Satan fails to tempt Jesus. Mark doesn't give us the details about the showdown. You got to read other gospels for that, these different temptations. But he lets us know that Jesus goes through it successfully. He withstands it as only God could. And then we see he's served by the angels. Served by the angels. All these things are confirming Jesus' ID as the Messiah, the Son of God. But for the people in the story, in the narrative, they're going to grow and learn to appreciate this over time, how awesome Jesus' identity is. When Peter finally declares in chapter 8 to Jesus, you are the Messiah, we're like, yeah, finally, Peter. Good job. You know, he got it. He messes up like 4 minutes later. But it's a shining moment. All right, it's a shining moment, and we celebrate. And so we, even though we know it right away, as we're following the people in the story, in the gospel, we're getting to enjoy just more and more how sweet it is that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. And so that he's God Almighty in human flesh, which incidentally, is exactly what we celebrate at Christmas, right? And so Mark skips Christmas, and yet the way he jumps into the story of Jesus, it helps us appreciate what we celebrate at Christmas all the more. You know, a few Sundays ago, we gave away hundreds of these books to our community out around the church. We did it in our Reach for the Streets Day, where we go out to different streets and we left them in people's doors with some invites to church and a nice Stony Creek bag. And we gave them away with our turkey dinner giveaway baskets a couple of weeks ago. And then last Sunday, we had the leftovers. There was about 100 or so more left over, and we put them out on the vestibule. You guys snapped them right up because they're all gone. If you missed last Sunday and you're hoping to get one of these books, I apologize. but I want to remind you, first of all, if you grabbed some of these books to hand out to your friends or neighbors, to do so, make sure you do that. And if you'd like to get one of them, I'll explain what they are in a moment. You can go to christianbook.com, and they're like $2 each. But what this book is, it's called Is Christmas Unbelievable? And it makes a good apologetic case for the Christmas story, and even more so for the deity of Jesus and what he did on the cross and his resurrection. It doesn't just end at Christmas. It goes all the way to how we can trust in Jesus to be saved. This is a great apologetic and evangelistic booklet. It's so quick to read, but it's powerful, powerful stuff. So I encourage you to get this out to a friend. But even though this book does not skip Christmas like Mark does, it's doing a lot of the same thing that the first part of Mark's gospel is doing. It's giving evidence to who Jesus is, right? That he is God made flesh, that he chased us down to earth to save us. And so I encourage you to get one of those books and give it out. This is, as far as I know, the last one in the building. So after this service, I've already given these books to my neighbors. You're welcome to wrestle me for this, and you get a free copy still. One left in the whole building. All right. Well, we will move on. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. That's who he is. That's the first thing Mark wants us as the reader to know. The second question there on our outline that's central to Jesus' gospel message is, what is Jesus doing? What is he doing? Who he is and what he did. That's what we want to know. And the answer that Mark gives us is that Jesus is advancing God's kingdom. You want to write that down. Jesus is all about advancing God's kingdom. Mark lets us know Jesus is the Messiah, and then from that point on, he keeps us focused on what the Messiah does, on what the Messiah is doing. Messiah means king. Now, there's been lots of lowercase m messiahs throughout Israel's history. It means king, anointed one, okay? And there has been lots of kings, messiahs, anointed ones, but they're all imperfect. Used by God, but imperfect, and meant to point to the ultimate perfect Messiah, the Son of God himself, Jesus. He's the King of heaven, and he's come down to us. And yet, when the Messiah shows up, unlike what many thought a Messiah might do, lead an army, overthrow a political rival, like Rome at that time was definitely a political rival in Israel, or occupy some grand palace somewhere. No, Jesus comes as a servant. A servant. Jesus' own words about himself, about his mission in Mark 10, read like this. You can help me out when we get to the yellow print. This is Jesus speaking of himself. He says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." To serve. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve and to suffer. We'll get to the suffer part in a moment. But this role of a servant, it's another reason why Mark skips Christmas. It's part of the reason he skips Christmas, to present Jesus as the servant. You see, back then, it might be the same today, but definitely back then, nobody cares where a servant comes from. A servant shows up, "What's your genealogy, sir?" No, nobody said that to a servant. Nobody cares where a servant, they care about one thing when it comes to a servant. Is he or she good at their job? What do they do? Do they do it well or not? And Mark highlights how Jesus is the suffering servant by showing what he does. People see what Jesus does, and that leads them to ask, who is this man? It's his actions, it's what he does as the servant that draws people in, and Jesus is a workhorse. I mean, I tried to read that paragraph the best I could, as fast as I could earlier. Now let's look at some of the things a little slower, still pretty fast, that he does just in chapter 1. What is Jesus doing as the servant Messiah? Well, number one, he's proclaiming the gospel. Write down gospel. Verses 14 and 15. And by the way, maybe this didn't occur to you, but maybe it did. Did it ever occur to you? What is the gospel message that Jesus was proclaiming? When I say gospel, of course, I mean Jesus is Lord. He died on the cross for our sins, and he arose from the dead. And after I share that message with somebody, I would invite them, if you want a relationship with God and your sins to be forgiven, you need to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, Jesus is Lord right here in chapter 1. Always been Lord, always will be Lord. But he hasn't died on the cross yet. So what exactly is this gospel that he's preaching here? Well, let's look at Mark 1, 14 and 15. It reads, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, the gospel of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the gospel. Well, what is that? What is that gospel? It's that the king has arrived and is advancing God's kingdom. See, that's what he says. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. That's what Jesus was preaching. That's the gospel he was preaching. The king has come and is advancing God's kingdom, and it's time to turn away from your sin. That's what repent means. And to jump on with the king. To commit your life, to pledge allegiance to the King of Kings, the King of Heaven, and live for God instead of ourselves. That gospel continued through Jesus' death and resurrection. In fact, we see Jesus right in chapter 1 gathering disciples to join in with them. That's the next thing you want to write down, gathering disciples. He calls Simon and Andrew and James and John. And I'll tell you what, when I say those names out loud, I got to confess to you, I am picturing the actors who play in the Chosen series. Maybe you are too. You're like picturing those guys. Some of them are real goofy too, but I like it. Chosen series is a great, great, great series. Love it. But yeah, I can't help but picture those guys. But what we see here, let's get back to the text and get away from Hollywood for a second. Well, they're not Hollywood. Anyway, moving along. Jesus' kingdom is advancing person by person. He's calling individuals. They go and call their friends and their family and their brothers and neighbors, and they go out too. But Jesus' kingdom is advancing person by person, just like it is today. When you and I share our faith with somebody, we share our testimony of what God did in our lives. We're a part of that person by person advancing kingdom of God. What else is Jesus doing? Well, for the next dozen or so verses, everything Jesus does we see is with authority. You want to write down authority? Like, his teaching is with authority. I'm teaching you the best I can as I'm led by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, teaching you what God's word, which is the authority. I am not the authority. God's word is the authority. Jesus taught as the authority because he is the word of God. The living word of God. And so he taught with authority. He drove out evil spirits. They had to obey him. They don't want to obey him. They had to obey him. And so we learn that he's working hard as servant, but he's also the boss. Jesus is the boss. Not only is he doing everything he's doing with authority, but also with power. You want to write down power on your outline. He heals Simon's mother-in-law. That story is there, found in Mark 1. And all kinds of others from all kinds of problems. Evil spirits that were possessing them, different kinds of sicknesses, he's healing them. In all of this, Jesus is the powerful servant king who's broken into our time and space, who's out in our street, who's in our home, who's in our synagogues. Mark is showing this, that he is hard at work advancing God's kingdom everywhere he goes. Now, the gospel writers, they each give their different perspectives on Jesus' ministry. As, of course, we're studying today, Mark skips Christmas. But the other three gospels also, they skip things that we find in Mark. You know, there's differences. They had different focuses. They all agree with one another. It's all true. But they had different focuses on what they were teaching, how they were teaching about Jesus. But for all four gospels, there's some events they never skip. They are all recorded, the most important. They all record Jesus' primary act as the suffering servant, which is his death on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin, and his resurrection, his bodily resurrection from the dead, proving that he is who he claimed to be, the Messiah, the Son of God, God Almighty in human flesh. His resurrection that proves he did what he said he would do, beat death for each and every person who puts their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Have you done this? Have you pledged yourself to the King of Heaven? You know, the Bible teaches our relationship with our Creator, our God, has been broken because of our rebellion against him. The Bible calls it sin. It began with our first parents, Adam and Eve. We know the story, but it continues in us. We see it. We see it in the way we hurt one another, the way we hurt ourselves. And all of it is shaking our fist up at God. Our thoughts, our words, our actions. And yet, Jesus on the cross made the way back to a relationship with our God. We learned about it last week, how Jesus on the cross, he became like us, separated from God the Father, so that we could become like him, united forever with God the Father here on earth and into eternity. If you have never jumped on board with the Savior of the world, if you've never pledged your allegiance to the King of Heaven, I encourage you to do it today. He loves you. He came down to earth to die for you, and he calls you to become a part of God's advancing kingdom by entrusting your life to him, just in Jesus' own words, to repent, to turn away from our sin, turn away from living for yourself, and turn to living for the King of Heaven. Do it today. If that's something you'd like to do, you could call to the Lord now in prayer between you and the Lord. If you'd like to talk with somebody, or maybe you feel like you need to be led a little bit in prayer, like somebody to pray with you, after the service, we have our pastoral prayer team. And they're down here, both sides of the stage here after the service, and they're here to pray with you, to talk with you. And so come down and talk with one of them. You know, when we read about all Jesus was doing in his earthly ministry, we can't help but get wrapped up into it, to get excited, to keep going. You know, wow, what's going on in Mark chapter 2, you know, as you're reading this. And yet, then there's this passage here, and it's not quite the end of chapter 1 in Mark, but it's the last passage we're going to look at today. And look at this. It's a little bit curious at first. It reads, very early the next morning, Jesus done all this stuff we've talked about so far, okay? Lots and lots of stuff, and we didn't talk about all of it. I summarized a bunch of it. But very early the next morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone's looking for you. Jesus replied, let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Jesus' disciples, you know, the next morning, after all this great ministry that's been going on in that town that they're in, they come and they're like, hey, there's more sick people. There's more people that need your help. And then Jesus is like, no, we're going to take off. Why? Why? Well, because the gospel had been preached in this town. And yes, it was accompanied with power and authority and miracles and the driving out of demons. And one day, Jesus is going to wipe away every sickness. One day he's going to bring all of our mess into order. He's going to make everything right. For those that belong to him, all our tears are wiped away, our sickness, our mourning. That time is on the horizon. And he does it. You get little pictures of that, those glimpses of heaven today. That's why we pray. That's why we prayed for Randy. We expect God's power to heal him. One day it'll all be healed. But right now, right here, Jesus knows there's another town that needs to hear the eternal life-saving message of the gospel. And so he says, we got to get off to the next town. We got to go to the next. These people heard it. They heard the most important thing. Now we need to go to the next. Jesus is always advancing the kingdom to the next set of people who need him. And he calls us to do the same. That's the last blank there on your outline. So get going. Just like Jesus. We read verses 35 to 39 right there. Just like, no, guys, it's time for us to go over here. We got to start preaching there now. Have you turned your life over to Jesus? Excellent. I did almost 30 years ago. Coming up to 30 years pretty soon. But we have neighbors and friends and family who don't know the Lord and have never trusted in Jesus to be saved. Now, Jesus has promised to be with us all along the way, but he sends us out now to do that urgent ministry, to proclaim the gospel to others. Remember, we read it at the beginning of the service, the beginning of Mark's gospel. Look what it said here. Go ahead and switch to it. It said the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. You can underline the beginning. That's a good couple of words to underline, even in your Bible, not just on an outline. The beginning of the good news. You see, the story of the gospel continues through us now. That's the way Mark's whole gospel is. When you get to Mark 16, it's like he's saying, okay, get out there and do it. Keep this kingdom advancement work going. Prioritize Jesus' urgent mission. God has you and I right here, right now, in this outpost of the kingdom, in this area of the world, at this time in human history, to advance his kingdom in our lives and around us. And we don't need to skip Christmas. I think the fact that I let all the lights stay up gave it away at the beginning. We sang songs. We don't need to skip Christmas. But Mark does it to highlight how urgent Jesus' work is and his mission that we're also called to. And so as we celebrate for the rest of this month and really every area of our life, let's keep Jesus' mission the priority. In fact, it would be better to skip traditions and things that we hold dear, that we cherish, if that was blocking us from the mission. It would be better to skip over those things to prioritize Jesus' urgent mission. We're going to have the band come up here, and in a moment, we're going to pray over the offering and sing a last song together. But before we do, I mentioned these unbelievable, I don't want to wrestle anybody in here. I'm just going to put it here, and whoever grabs it first at the end can do it. We're out of those, but we do have a lot of invites to church and our Christmas services out in the vestibule, along with some Stony Creek Church grab bags. I encourage you, even if you didn't get one of those books, maybe grab a few of those invites. This is just a tangible way to apply today's message. Grab a couple of those invites and some bags, maybe stuff them with some goodies. Maybe you cook cookies, bake cookies, and you put a little couple cookies in there. And give them to some friends and neighbors, all right? Hand them out and invite people to church where they're going to hear the gospel. Invite people to the Christmas Eve services where they're going to hear the gospel and be invited to trust in Christ. That's just a real easy, tangible way for us to prioritize Jesus' urgent mission. Will you stand with me? And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all four of the Gospels, that we have four wonderful biographies about our Lord and Savior. I thank you for the contribution each of them makes in helping us learn new things about you, God, and about Jesus. And may we continue every year, even as we hear familiar Christmas stories over and over again, may every time we read your word and learn about you, even a very familiar story, may we look at you in a whole new way all over again. because you are an infinite God. There's always something new to learn about you, something new to fill us with awe about who you are and what you've done for us. And Lord, I pray that indeed, as we worship and stand in awe of the incarnation, and worship you for what you did for us through that, that we would all the way through it prioritize the reason you came to earth, which was to seek and save the lost. Jesus gave his life as a ransom. May we honor that even this Christmas by making your urgent mission our priority at every festivity, at every tradition. And Lord, with this offering, we give it to you as an act of worship and pray that you would bless it and use it as well to advance your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.